everyone, and welcome back to Rebook, the show where we talk about the men and the women who be slapping the meat in the middle of the ring, and the stories are telling the process, brother. I'm, of course, GB. You have the illustrious Matt and the amazing Jake. Oh, no. No, we're not doing the milk carton thing. Oh, that's terrible.
What a great receptacle, Jake.
It's already in a container for system. Me.
Super you know? Easy.
I don't have to try to pour it. If you watched our
Wednesday show, you would see this argument about carton versus bagged water. Sees the
if
conversation.
We're not good
continues.
At nothing else bagged on this water. Show. We're good at continuity. We is punchline continuity.
Yeah,
callbacks, exactly. Baby.
Callbacks. That's what we're all about. Speaking of, though, we do want to let everyone know that there is going to be a change to Rebook programming moving forward. Starting next week, Rebooked will be under one mega show. And we've mentioned it over the course of the last few episodes. This is your last warning, so we're just telling you right now. Rebooked will be releasing one big mega show episode on Wednesday moving forward. Of course, our shorts and all that stuff are going to continue as usual, but we will no longer be doing the TNA nor the WWE specific shows. Everything is going to go under one roof. And don't worry, we're going to talk about the biggest storylines across all the different promotions and from WWE, TNA, and WWE, so you don't have to worry. We're still going to talk about it all. Well, you know, within reason, because we're human. So, in any case, though, this will be the last time that we get to really dive into a lot of WWE conversation. And there was a lot of WWE conversation this weekend because, you know, something big happened at NXT Battleground, which, you know, I don't know if you guys heard about that. You know, Trick Williams is the new TNA World Champion. You want to know more about that? We talk about it on our TNA show, which came out on Thursday. That being said, Saturday night's main event was WWE's big thing for this weekend. And it featured the main event matchup of Jey Uso versus Logan Paul for the World Heavyweight Championship. You also had Seth Rollins, Bron Breakker taking on CM Punk, Sami Zayn, John Cena versus R-Truth. You had some fun moments there for sure. We'll talk about every match like we did for Double or Nothing, but we'll start with the smaller ones real quick. Zelina Vega, Chelsea Green. Zelina Vega retains. That was not what we had thought would happen, but hey, okay, we'll see where it goes from here.
Did we not?
We didn't know that match was happening.
Oh, wait, that's right. We didn't know that match was happening. Sorry. But also, I would have predicted Chelsea and Zelina winning was a little shocker.
Matt? She just won, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's kind of true.
That's kind of par for the course.
Yeah, it's fair. And it seems like maybe Chelsea could be moving to something else. Who knows? We'll see. Not much really to add on to that one. Moving forward, though, Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre.
She got her nose busted open, by the way.
That's true. Sorry.
Which was pretty nasty.
That was quite gnarly. How did that happen, too? That was...
Zelina was trying to do a 619 through the ropes and I guess just misjudged it. And so her legs didn't swing all the way. So she just kicked her in the face. Yeah.
Damn. Okay. Yeah. I didn't realize that. I thought it happened earlier. I didn't realize it was the 619.
No, it kind of, it was when she lost her momentum going through the ropes and then just was like, well, screw it. And then just bam, kicked her right in the face. And you saw Chelsea be like, what the fuck, before she goes down.
Ouch.
On that note, before we move ahead, and I promise I'm breaking our own rules of how we make content here. I do want to go back just because we have to talk about it. Friday Night SmackDown, Tiffany and Nia, the kick to the chair at the end of the match, the shotgun shot to the head. Luckily, it was the finish.
Yeah,
but holy crap, Nia was the whole holding the chair. Tiffany drop kicked it, but it was like that was a shoot drop kick. Like immediate, that was hard way. Like hard, she immediately started bleeding from the brow, and like it was quick too. It was like ka-king, and then
that's scary.
Luckily,
too.
It was moonsault done, thank God. But
also a great match.
That one was pretty gnarly.
Yeah. It was a hell of a match. They went pretty hard. But
Nia has kind of been my like low-key goat of WWE as of late. She's been really good. Like good matches. Good. She always comes out and says something silly and gets a reaction from the crowd. She's very good. She knows her character very well and like what she's
doing.
She
still gives me anxiety though.
Yeah. She sometimes
because her she does her finish gimmick and like it lands on people's like
sternum,
stomach,
and on their sternum. Yeah.
And like I'm claustrophobic, but like anything where something is not allowing me to breathe,
yeah,
I freak out. So like I can only like she did this spot with Tiffany where like I think Tiffany got a foot on the rope or something. So like Nia just sat there and was like reacting, but it was like 20 seconds. She was just sitting, like her legs were splayed out, like she wasn't holding her weight up and everything. I was just like, that is anybody sitting on my stomach for that long. I was like, let alone just a larger person.
Yeah.
So it just gives me like anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause I've had boys do some of the guys do that to me on like on covers or anything, like even just for a couple seconds. I'm like,
yeah, I can't imagine. That's a.
So
I'd be worried about cool shit in my pants.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I would be worried about.
I like how that's always the thing, right? Whenever my wife watches, she's always like, wait, what do they do if they have their period? You know, like if the women have their period, that's what she's always worried about.
You wrestle.
Know? Yeah, no, I know. But she's like, but some of these moves, you know what I mean? Like it things, you know, and it hurts. It's not
an extra layer. Yeah.
The physical pain and the inside pain. You know what I mean? It's all pain. Yeah. It's a lot. But man, shout out to them. I don't know how they do it.
Actually, the other pain may make you forget about that pain. Maybe. So they may enjoy it.
Maybe.
We had a few of those matches that we can kind of like look past because things happened, but it wasn't all that crazy. One of those, Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre, we talk about that one real quick, steel cage match. This one, honestly, I'm just going to call out and say it's fun when Jesse the Body Ventura is on commentary sometimes, but most times it is not great. So I'm okay if they just keep him on the analyst desk section that they have set up, and he just continues to do stuff there, and that's great because he really took away from, like, I don't disagree with him. It was just too much.
Well, that's the thing. I think I have talked about it on this show how much I hate that rule.
Yeah,
but I think that they didn't tell him
either.
No,
I think that they just did. I think that whole thing was a shoot where he just didn't know that was a new rule now. So he was like, "Wait, he just walked out the fucking door. What are we doing?" And I love that him just, but that's stupid. Like I love just him. His honesty is refreshing. But
it was a lot. I will give you. I do agree with him.
In the grand scheme of things, though, when you really think about it and the match and ultimately what comes from this, that is the most notable thing that happened in the feud and in the match. No disrespect to the two guys, but it was very much like they had a couple good matches. This was a good way to cap it out. Damian Priest won. Yay. Like Drew won a Mania. Priest won the feud. And then, you know, you kind of just move on from there. And Jesse the Body Ventura is angry that you walked out. That was my takeaway. That was my one big thing. I wasn't too big on that.
I mean, he's not wrong, though.
But I really do think that. Like, I get it. He's old. But, like, at some point, you know, like, there's a show that you got to do here. And I just feel like he very much took away from the ending of that one.
True.
But, hey, it is what it is. We had two other matches that we'll dive into a little bit here. And the first one, actually, I'm going to start with the main event, if you guys are okay with that. Because I think there's more to talk about with the tag match and with Cena Truth. And also because I don't think any of us reasonably believed that Logan Paul was going to win. Overall, was a decent match, which again is exactly what we said was going to happen. I came out of it not really feeling all that compelled. And yeah, sure, you could say I have bias against Logan Paul because I'm not a big fan of the guy. But I didn't really come away from the match feeling like this was anything noteworthy outside of what happened at the end, which was... which I guess kind of played into the John Cena R-Truth matchup there as well. But did you guys expect the ending to go that way with Cena? For Jey Uso, Logan Paul?
Oh, for him? No. I mean, until he said something backstage.
That was so from left field.
Yeah. It wasn't until he said something backstage where I was like, oh, well, that's kind of brilliant. Like him just being like, oh man, that'd probably ruin wrestling, wouldn't it? Him just walking away, I thought was funny.
Yeah.
I didn't think it would happen that night like that or whatever, but yeah, that is, it fits the theme. You know what I mean? He's teaming up with people that are going to ruin, you know, Travis Scott, people that he knows the strong wrestling audience do not like.
But I have to be that guy, and I'm going to be very, like, I'm sure people will be bothered with it, but they don't like Logan Paul because he's a YouTuber.
Exactly.
No.
They don't like Logan Paul
because he's not a good person.
No, I know. That is the point. And they are playing a meta game here, and you are falling for it.
No. This isn't a meta game.
In a good way. No,
it really isn't. Bro, you're platforming a person who went to a forest and stood around. Yep. Like, I'm sorry, but that makes me not want to watch your product anymore.
You're one of the few, but yeah, people want to boo that.
I mean, because I'll be honest with you. If this is the direction WWE is going in, I'm out. Like,
it is a gamble.
In what
for
direction?
Sure.
With having this freaking twat hold that title that Bruno Sammartino held, because it's going to happen.
Right.
They're going to do it. And I'm sorry, but it's just like it's kind of reprehensible when you really think about it. And
I don't know that that's a guarantee.
I feel very confident that they're going to do that.
I think it's strong. I don't think it's a lock.
At the very least, he'll hold the World Heavyweight Championship.
I do see that probably happening. But like, dude, I'm telling you, this is all intentional. It's not like, oh, we like him because he's good. They know that people feel the way you feel, and they're trying that as a. They know that people feel that way about Travis Scott's involvement. And they're,
see,
what the hell
different.
Is this?
Which that is a different one for me, though.
Let me cook.
I'm so sorry.
I've got my hand in the dish.
I'm holding the talking spoon.
go for it.
No, but I guess I'm just saying the same thing over and over again. But like, yeah, like they know that like people like they think there's a large contingent of their strong audience that legitimately don't want these people on their screen, don't think they're good or entertaining, and think like it's not about being like a good heel. I mean, like it's they're choosing people who they know are like going to tick off,
are going to push buttons.
Your pure wrestling fan audience because they're taking a risk with that. They are.
Yeah.
But I would be willing to bet a larger chunk will engage with and complain about and watch it go down. Yeah, you are 100% justified in your reason and for turning it and for changing the channel. You are like, none of us like the motherfucker, but I think they are banking on hopefully that most people will. This is WWE. This is rage bait. They're rage baiting. They're literally rage baiting.
When I think about that, and then I look at like what's being offered in other places. And with TNA, with New Japan, I'm just like, I feel like it's really like you got to call a spade a spade, right? We're in a really difficult time right now in our country, in the way that we even speak to each other, in our media, all this stuff. It's very, very, very weird. And I just think it's very interesting and very specific that WWE is doing this. And I, as an individual who might be a bit more aware than other folks are, woke, if you will. I'm kidding. I mean, whatever. But I do feel like it's not. Yeah, no, it's missing me completely. Totally it is cool fair. Though. It is cool though that you know. I'm sure Logan Paul is probably excited to work with John Cena. Right. You know, that we are going to get a match. It's going to be Logan Paul, John Cena versus Jey Uso, Cody Rhodes. And again, no, the man's ability in the ring, notwithstanding, guy can go, you know, like he's got his moments. I don't think he's like an incredible technical wrestler, but this matchup wasn't an incredible technical wrestling match. So, you know, this was very much a WWE match. It was just like big moves, bah, bah, which was good. I enjoyed it for what that was. But yeah, I don't know. Something about it's just making me It's just off.
No, I get it. It's a rage tweet. I see them all the time now where I'm like, why would you, you could have such a good conversation. Why are you saying this thing that, you know why? Because when I offer a new one, it's why we made this show.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people who do it. And like, I think there's such a great nuanced conversation to have.
Yeah. Yeah. But
the rage tweet, whether we like it or not, has 500 replies and 8,000 retweets. And you know what I mean?
It's true.
And they're taking, it's a risk that it may backfire with some really great fans like you and other people. But I think that's what they're attempting to do. I think it is an experiment.
I also think that they're very clear. Like, they don't care about what fans think. They really don't. They're going to march forward with what they think would be the thing that gets them
the most
views
and
money. If
they didn't care about what fans think, then why did they change WrestleMania last year?
No, I don't mean it in like a negative mean. I'm saying, like, in the end of the day, they are a publicly traded company. Their objective is always going to be more money year over year for shareholders, right? It's part of, you know, that's just the nature of capitalism. It's just how it is. So I think, like, for them, you know, it makes sense that they lean into individuals that will help that bottom line. All right. Logan Paul is one of those individuals. So it doesn't matter that fans like me are okay with it, because they're fine losing me, because they know that they can get like three other Logan Paul fans to come in and be WWE fans, because Logan Paul's in WWE now. You know what I mean? So I that's kind of how I'm seeing it. You sacrifice a few for the many for much more is kind of how it feels to me. That being said, you know, I'm one person. It doesn't matter what happens. It's clearly this is what people want and who watch WWE. I'm just a dude, you know. But Jake, we talked about this in particular and how this plays into everything. And it does. It's that whole promo with John Cena was awesome. Him saying, like, wouldn't that be a shame? Oh, wouldn't that be horrible if Logan Paul was a champion? That right there, like, just hearing John Cena be that person. I love that. I want more of that. I want him to go to all these different people and just say all these different things that would be terrible for them. You know, kind of like be like the final destination of wrestlers, except without the death, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think it'd be fun just to see a more conniving John Cena.
Yeah.
You know, who wants, you know, a widespread ruining of
wrestling. Yeah, he's trolling. He's and trolling.
I think, that's funny to me. That whole backstage segment, I loved.
Yeah.
I thought it was really great. And then, him coming out later to do it, just because why the hell not? I enjoyed that.
Yeah. I thought that part was really, it was fun, but also because it sets up something pretty cool. Cody Rhodes came back and saved the day. Let me see if we got that there. There he is. There's our hero. Cody Rhodes is back. What a pop he had too. Oh my God. Which was really great. Like, that's exactly, he's been off TV for a while. So, you know, now he's back. Boom. Big moment. R-Truth versus John Cena, on the other hand, what a fun match that was.
Yes.
Matt, yeah. Really, like, I am constantly impressed with, like, Truth in general, but like, just the entrance, the everything he was doing.
John Cena. Yeah. Cosplay from top to bottom. The
Five Moves of Doom.
Cena tried to do it. Hit the slow, deliberate way he'd been doing since Mania and all that stuff. And then Truth went and did the full speed get deal, complete with AA and all that stuff. I loved it. That was fun. That was fun wrestling. Every year I ask myself this question.
Well, now they're 2-2.
No.
Oh.
He's 53. He's 53. He's 53. And doesn't wrestle all the time on TV and all stuff. And still shows up and, like, looks great and moves great. And, like, Lord, he is ageless. He is timeless. Forget Tony Storm. R-Truth is forever.
He really is, and, like, man. Holy.
He doesn't even, like, have a hitch in his step or, like, anything. Dude, he's still in great shape. Like, just everything, like, it's, he has in the past 20 years has barely changed.
Yeah.
And, like, and I mean that in a very good way, which is, like, he's just timeless, truly.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun to watch.
It was. It was. Jake,
you
I know
you
could
tell
big,
he was having fun.
Yeah, I know you're a big Truth fan as well. So, you know, opportunity to gush about Truth.
I just wanted a little more. Sure, I just wanted a little more. Mm. The match was a little shorter than I wanted it to be. And I'm not saying there had to be some like, oh my God, I think Truth is going to do it. I think he's going to win. I just wanted more from it, because it was just kind of an enjoyable, like, fun match, but I did just want it to be a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. That's my only, the result was what it needed to be, and how it went was how it needed to be. It wasn't going to be some, you know, I can't wait to see Dave Meltzer come out with a legitimate star rating for this match. Like, it fucking needs one. But
yeah,
you know, so this was a 1.75 star classic. Anyway,
no, I do agree that it, but it didn't need to be like a wrestling masterpiece, because there was so much more going into this, right, with the story, which this is just one of those instances where, like, the story just really carried it, and it was like Truth just trying to find his hero, the real John Cena, and John Cena really struggling with, like, this, you know, person of like, hey, I want to ruin wrestling, but also, like, he still comes out with the same clothing. He's still doing all the same things. Like, it's, you could tell, like, there are moments where, like, even when the crowd, like, cheers when he wins, like, he leaves and they chant, thank you, Cena. Like, it's all really, it's really well done for John and for John's character. The way that it started was rough, but now that we're here, it's really enjoyable. And this was a good stop on the John Cena championship tour. We have the tag match, the big one. Oh boy, folks, I just want to do a solo real fast and say I was right. Suck it. That's right, baby.
Where's your hat?
No,
where's your
I hat? Didn't have a I was right hat.
I
damn
called
it
hat.
Oh man, we asked, we said it, we were like, there's got to be a fourth person or a third person, however you want to shake it. There's got to be another member to this group that Seth Rollins is forming. And we find out that it's none other than Big Bronson Reed. And what a way for him to come back. Jake, you know, this genuinely was a surprise. Not that, you know, we've had a feeling, right? But just the fact that it was Bronson Reed, how it all played out, what did you think of it?
I thought it was great. I think Bronson's a perfect person to join this group. They're dangerous now. I mean, they were before, but they are dangerous now. We still don't have a name. We still don't have a name for this group. I feel like there's got to be one at some point, right?
I mean, hope so.
Because what are we supposed to? Yeah,
you
know, I don't
know. You
know
what
we
this
need,
reminds
we
me?
We need a name for.
This reminds me of Don Callis family, where it's like Don Callis family. It's like a collection of just real, like, because now, especially with like Josh Alexander, Konosuke Takeshita, Kyle Fletcher, it's like these like really, really good guys. Obviously, different stages in their career, more like, you know, different areas, but like, whereas this one, Seth Rollins is clearly like the identifiable leader of the group, but you get the vibe where it's like, it's just, you're taking really, really good guys, putting them together, making this like super team of really good guys, and that's it, man.
I have the name.
Okay.
I'm surprised that I didn't see this more often, and like, I'm this isn't even like a stop, I'm joking moment. Like, the promo, the follow-up promo on Raw, Seth started his promo with, this is my vision.
Yeah.
This is the, why aren't, they should be the vision.
The vision.
This is my vision of how WWE
vision
should be run.
Yeah. WandaVision. That's right.
Yeah. But I don't know. The Vision, I think, could be a very cool name.
Especially because he's called himself like the visionary, right? The architect, right? Like all these different things. Yeah. The vision, I think, definitely
the
helps.
Blueprint?
The blueprint. The
blueprint could work.
I mean,
sure.
I don't know. I'm trying to. I like since they're on Raw. I mean, and now especially with the addition of Bronson Reed. I think they should be the Monday night meat market. That's what they ought to be.
The Monday night meat market. Let us know what name you think they should be in the comments down below. And why should it be the Monday night meat market? You can give us a bunch of different reasons as to why. But yeah, this. So Bronson Reed comes out. He attacks CM Punk, Sami Zayn. They end up winning the match. It's a great night for Seth Rollins. Great last couple days.
Look at those prime cuts. Look at these three.
I know. He wins. He also won the Money in the Bank qualifier, so Seth Rollins is going to be in that. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, it seems like the vision is coming together, fellas. Maybe that is called the vision. Because the only thing that's stopping them is CM Punk right now. He's the only thing that's in their way, if you will. It feels like Money in the Bank might be a play here, right?
What, Seth winning?
I mean, yeah, it's really feeling that way. I mean, it's a nice kind of cyclical.
Well, let's move on. Let's move on to that because it's Money in the Bank season. We didn't talk about it last week because there was so much going on with Saturday night's main event and everything. But now we have an opportunity to yap about it. And yeah, let's talk because we got on the men's side right now, Solo Sikoa, LA Knight, Penta, Seth Rollins. And we know that there are going to be six competitors in each matchup. So that means CM Punkius could find his way in, perhaps, like we had talked about before.
Who? Can you name them? Name them again?
Solo Sikoa, LA Knight, Seth Rollins, and Penta. Now, if we're assuming there's two more. So if we're assuming...
One from each show, probably.
One from... Yeah. If I had to assume maybe Priest, and then...
I was going to say Aleister Black, but he already lost his qualifier, right? To LA Knight?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Shinsuke lost.
And Shinsuke, yeah.
And then Jimmy and Rey Fénix lost. Finn and was it Finn and Sammy Gable. Loss Gable and Dragon Lee. So you don't really have a lot of options. Sheamus is going into something with Rusev. Maybe they get thrown into the picture with Punk. That could be a possibility for a triple Punk threat match to qualify.
Punk seems right.
So That looks like it's going to be for the men's side. Anyone in the four right now that you could maybe give Money in the Bank to? LA Knight maybe is the only one, or Solo.
Honestly, out of those four, I think the most likely is Seth right now.
Yeah, Seth. If you're going the route that Money in the Bank,
because why aren't those two just going to come out? Why won't they just come out and cheat during Money in the Bank ladder match?
Yeah.
They have to get like taken out or something beforehand. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That match is going to be a clusterfuck, though. Holy crap. Because you're going to have new bloodline coming out here. You're probably going to get Grande Americano and Vikingo coming out for something. Who knows? Then you're also, you're probably going to get that. You're going to get Penta. You're going to get Seth Rollins' team. Jacob Fatu,
maybe. Yeah.
I mean, I know he's got a title already.
Oh, you mean like qualifying for the match? Oh,
qualifying for the match. That's what I mean.
Mm.
Could be interesting. And then you have a little bit of your tension with Solo.
No, because it seems like they helped Solo to win. They helped Solo to win this one.
Yeah, but if he gets in the Money in the Bank match, and because they've already shown tension between Fatu and Solo.
That's true. You can use that as an opportunity, like as a vehicle to kind of things going right and to get them to have some kind of clashes. That I could see that being the case.
Because I feel like at this point it might be like Solo and Jacob at SummerSlam.
Yeah,
for the U.S. title.
For the U.S. title,
And finally split them. Really quick, can I call back to the Vision? We're done kind of talking
about them.
I have an issue with them already.
And that is?
The promo, this right here. What's wrong with this picture? I'm curious. What do you think I'm going to complain about?
Seth is wearing white.
Paul, Paul Heyman's not wearing sunglasses.
Skirting around the issue a little bit. My thing is, you have three, in my opinion, three stars. Obviously, Seth being a certified leader and a main eventer. But the two other stars are looking like 90s bouncers from a comedy movie.
Mm-hmm.
I get the maybe the black, but like they don't seem like they're their own unique personalities within this group. They look like bouncers. They look wearing cheesy fucking sunglasses. Not like not wild artsy ones like Seth wears. They're just like shitty fucking 90s sunglasses and all black suits. I'm like, show me. I want these guys to all have a personality and not just be lackeys.
Right.
I don't want them to be a supersized J&J security.
Yeah,
right. You know what I
mean? Good point.
That's my one worry. Yeah. Is the way they've been presented is just hitmen for Seth, and it always comes around to that of like, these are my guys, and then of course they'll turn on him when he treats him like shit eventually. But at the beginning, he should be like, look, these are my guys, and he's the fucking bulldog over here, and he's the goddamn grizzly bear over here. That was what was kind of cool about Evolution, is that like Randy and Batista were like these unique guys, like the powerhouse and the pinch hitter over here. Like they had their unique, instead of just being lackeys, and they were in their own divisions while all being led by Hunter and Rick. And so I just hope that doesn't turn into.
Maybe that's the point right now. Maybe that's kind of the point, is them figuring out like, okay, well, is Seth trying to mold them in his image?
Sure.
Or
hopefully
it is
intentional like that.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I went looking and
they need a name before they worry about costuming. I mean, that's
but the thing is though, is that like you're right. You know, with this team, you know, you knew what was happening here. Right. Ric Flair, the veteran, the man who had, you know, at this point, I think was like a 15-time world champion or 16-time world champion, or he was already at the record at that point. Triple H, right? This was like the guy. Batista, the next guy. And Randy Orton, the new guy, right? And like you kind of have this vibe of like, this is where this was going. I don't necessarily feel that with this team right now, but I think that this gives them a lot of opportunity to do that, you know, like there is plenty of room. You have 3 hours of television on Netflix that's pretty much unimpeded. No reason why Seth Rollins and Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker don't get more playtime, more motivation, more understanding. Why did Bron Breakker, a guy who seemingly was doing perfectly fine on his own, end up aligned with Paul Heyman and Seth Rollins? I want to hear from him.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like Bronson Reed, like I think like they talked about why Bronson Reed joined the team, but I wanted to hear from Bronson Reed. Right. Rather than Seth be like, I saw this guy and he beat the shit out of me, so now he's on my team. And like, that's cool. I don't have a problem with it. I just wish that came from Bronson Reed's mouth. Continuing forward, though, with Money in the Bank conversation here, we haven't talked about the ladies yet, because I think that's going to be where the madness happens, because the competitors in this match is already just out of this world. You got Kairi Sane just won on Monday Night Raw last night after some shenanigans. Liv Morgan got cost the opportunity because Roxanne Perez got involved. Roxanne Perez is in the Money in the Bank match, though, not Liv Morgan. Very interesting how that works out. Rhea Ripley, which, by the way, Kairi Sane got two tries to qualify for the Money in the Bank match because she lost to Rhea Ripley. And then she won against Liv the other night. That was bizarre. Am I tripping? Kairi was in that match.
No.
That was her debut match. And we were like mad that her first match she lost. That was the one where where the injury happened, and then they did the finish really quickly. And there was someone got hurt.
Oh, with Zoe Stark.
Zoe Stark got hurt. That's what it was. Hey, well, you know, all's well that ends well. Kyrie's in the match.
But the match with Liv, though, was a one-on-one match, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're going to even address it. I would chalk it up to, because Liv showed up, back to Monday Night Raw, there's shenanigans going on, whatever. She goes, she said in that backstage, like, I'm going to go talk to Pierce and get myself a qualifier. So
match.
It was almost like it wasn't pre-planned. So Pierce was like, well, you know what? There was all that. Let's give Kyrie another go. Since you're coming in here and demanding this, fine.
Yeah.
If you're going to piss me off like that, I'm going to give somebody another try. Like, as opposed to like a long ahead, scheduled thing.
Yeah. Yeah. For this one, we have 5 of the 6. We're waiting on number 6. We don't know who that one will be. Could be anyone, to be completely honest with you. Women who have already competed in these matches, though, Meechin, Chelsea Green, Lyra, Natalia, and Becky Lynch. We had Zoe Stark and Kairi Sane, but that doesn't matter because Kairi qualified, Liv Morgan. And then we had Zelina Vega and Charlotte Flair. So that really doesn't leave a lot of options. I could maybe see this being, you know, Ivy Nile, maybe, or something like that. I don't know, but I don't think it's going to be any Bailey. Maybe Bailey's
she's going to be in with.
Yeah,
I know. She's probably coming back with Lyra and
Jade Cargill.
Jade.
Oh yeah. Wait, did Naomi already lose a qualifier? Mm-hmm. Naomi's a good one.
No, not that I can see her on my notes.
Naomi or Jade.
I would expect that to be the match on SmackDown.
Ooh. Them in the triple threat.
I would not be shocked if they do a triple threat qualifier between the three of them on SmackDown this week. That would be kind of cool to get that qualification done. But who wins it of this group here?
I don't know.
Who of the four that are...
Of the 5. Alexa Bliss, Roxanne Perez, Rhea Ripley, right. Julia, right. And Kairi right. Sane.
I mean, out of that group, Alexa.
Alexa Bliss.
Alexa, because we want it, or because there's a good reason for it?
I think they've been, but I just think her reactions since she's come back have been so strong, and people have wanted to see her. So they've used her sparingly, but like her reactions have been so damn strong.
We just got the return of the Wyatt 6.
That's also true.
Let's not forget that. So if she's going to be involved with them, it might be interesting to see her kind of take charge of them in a way by like, you know, hey, I've got the Money in the Bank briefcase now. And this, like, I'm, you know, and this being a thing that she wants to win for the Wyatt 6. And she's kind of the one who's maybe in control of them and not so much Uncle Howdy anymore. And, you know, you could do some kind of conflict there within the group or something like that. There are options there, but, you know, Alexa's won it before is the only thing, but
true.
Yeah.
I don't think Rhea doesn't need it.
I mean,
Roxanne winning it could cause a lot of issues in that Judgment Day thing.
Yeah.
Roxanne's the wild card for me. Roxanne, I think, is the one that, and I mean, dude, she's the prodigy for a reason. Like, Roxanne Perez is good. We're going to be yapping about Roxanne Perez for a hot minute. So I think we all better get used to it right now. And they could very well be doing what they did with Tiffany Stratton, but they do it with Roxanne, where, you know, you put the briefcase on the new upstart from NXT, and then they kind of get thrown into a story. And to be fair, you can kind of rinse and repeat the same thing you did with Tiffany Stratton and Nia Jax, except this time you do it with Roxanne Perez, Liv Morgan, and Judgment Day.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad. I mean, I wouldn't mind that story.
Except Liv doesn't have a world title.
No, it doesn't have a world title, but you can make the briefcase like a point of contention between the two of them.
For sure.
Right? I think you could do some I mean, hell, you can even go into a world where Roxanne wins and then Liv wins the briefcase off of her. They haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah, there's precedent for that. Right? That's for sure.
So you definitely set up something very interesting there. And now the more that I think about it, the more I feel like Roxanne Perez winning this Money in the Bank might actually be more where the story is going based on what seeds are being planted right now. Because you're right. Rhea doesn't really need it. Like, she can get there another way. And let's not forget that the Evolution pay-per-view is coming up pretty soon. So who knows? They could even do a qualification number one contenders match at that show. Like, yeah, tons of stuff. This was a good main event, but also a very good Raw, where there was some cool moments on there. that I enjoy. Mm. You know, like we got New Day a little bit. We got those. The I feel like qualifier matches are always fun. And
I'm going to call attention just briefly to Jey Uso Gunther promo.
Yeah, yeah.
It was simple, but I liked the kind of like, I don't know, like modicum of like respect that Uso kind of had from like, I ain't looking past you. I'll see you there. Like there was like the tensions had died down over all the Mania stuff. And it was just like, you know, I can beat you, but I also know how much, you know, how much damage you can do. So it was like this mutual.
The roles were reversed.
They were reversed a little bit, but it was like, we're on the same playing field now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't know. It was just a good sportsman promo. I just liked it.
Yeah. And it does make me wonder what's going on with Gunther. I'm very, very curious. Because he's had gold for so long. It's so weird seeing Gunther without a title over his waist. It's so bizarre. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. You know, like I don't.
Yeah, it's time for him to make himself stand out without that. It has for the last 2 years. It's been the IC right into the world title, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, if the only thing that defines you is having a champion, having a title and holding it over people's heads, like you got to have more than that.
True that.
And so it's time for him to find that.
I think he should do a thing of like, since he's kind of been talking about like trying to bring back old school wrestling. I think that's an interesting storyline for him to follow of just like, okay, I'm going to go beat some respect into these wrestlers that I don't respect, you know, to try to, I couldn't change this company into the company I wanted it to be when I was the champion. So let me go change it now. And we just change it through
by force,
violence, and beatings, and
that
might be fun to see him do.
That would be, there's a lot of excitement for me for Gunther. I want to see what he does. I think whatever it is, this title match is going to be fun. It is wild though that we've done Jey Uso versus Gunther. Now this would be the fourth time or the fifth time, the fourth time we've done this match a lot at this point. So I think. Once we're done for a little while.
Stay away for a little bit.
Stay away from each other. We're okay. You know, maybe Gunther goes to another show, or same for Jey. Who knows? That's going to come, of course, to the end of our show. Lots of stuff to look forward to. But, of course, we want to let everyone know that there is going to be a change going into next week. We will have one big super show moving forward, as our AEW, WWE, and TNA shows are all going to be coming under one roof. It'll be like a longer show. So basically a normal show where we cover everything in there. Hopefully, you know, throughout the journey of watching these episodes on Fridays, we appreciate those of you who tuned in and watched the Friday installment of Rebooked when we started doing it. We're just a four-person operation, so it has been a journey to learn and see what works, what doesn't work. And this will just make things a little bit easier for myself, for Scan, and even for all of us, just to keep things more tight and concise. But fellas, that's it. This, of course, the Friday show is where you got to see Jake's retro rippage. And In the interest of doing this again, let us, of course, celebrate with one final Jake's retro rippage. I just wanted to use this graphic one more time before we end the Friday show. Unfortunately, we have anything to rip, but it's okay. You know, he looks around and he's like, is there something here to break? There has to be an El Gigante card here somewhere.
Some mail.
Junk mail.
What is Jake
actually? Really quick, I'll do this very, very quick, because we technically tried to start show and tell.
Show and tell.
I was assigned. I did bring something.
Okay. Hey, there we go.
Okay. So even if we don't continue this, I'll at least for this, we wanted, it was like wrestling related memorabilia or something like that. Show and tell. So you want a blast from the past? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have the official 2013. Essentially, it says NXT, but this is basically when we were still FCW, the official tour book.
Whoa, 12
years ago.
Holy moly. Look, is that a young Dean Ambrose and Bo Dallas?
John Moxley, yeah. Uncle Howdy, Big E, the Visionary, and Leah Key, a.k.a. Roman. I think he was Roman Reigns at this point.
Holy crap.
They did change his name, but like.
Are you in there? There he is. Oh, no, no, yeah. Oh, no, there he is. Next to Alexander Rusev.
Next to Rusev by coincidence. Yes. Amazing.
Yes. We used to laugh about like when we started doing everything, like people would come up to us with these to like sign at like events and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was like, yep, little did we know what would be in the future.
That's crazy.
Some other prominent, you know, Big E, Bo, of course, Bray. Bray is in there.
Nice.
Original OG Bray.
Love it.
Yep.
Ryan Nemeth, CJ, and Juice Robinson, back in the day.
Oh, wow. Riley Pierce and CJ Parker. Oh, I remember CJ.
Yep.
Yeah. Glad they.
Young Enzo and.
And Cass.
And Mox.
Oh, and Mox.
Oh,
there we
wow.
Go. Cass is in there. Cass is in there too. But yeah.
Wow.
Soraya got a full page.
Yeah, she did.
Whoa.
Look at that. She gets a full page.
She got a fold out.
Yeah, what the hell?
But oh, that's yeah, where things were clearly going, where she was clearly the star.
Right? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time. Big time. But yeah. I don't even remember. Chris Hero. Oh yeah,
Chris Hero.
Yeah,
man, I was so excited Cassius Ohno was such a good name. It was just a shame that it came out and then Kevin Owens was like right behind him.
Roman Reigns and then a good old Dax Harwood wearing a beanie for some reason.
Oh my god, Dax Harwood, Scott Dawson. Wow. Scott, yep. What was Cash's old name? I mean, it's been years.
Cassius Ohno.
No, Cash Wheeler. It was
what's it called? Scott Dawson and God, now I'm blanking on it.
Man, I'm drawing a
it was Dash, wasn't it?
No.
Yeah. Wasn't it Dash?
Dawson and Dash.
Was it
Dash Harwood?
Dash Wilder and Scott Dawson.
Dash Wilder.
That's
Dash Wilder and Scott Dawson. That was their names back then. Wow. Okay. Blast from the past there. Wow, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that, man. Yeah. It's pretty cool. Now, what year was that?
2013.
And time reminds us all the doom that is to come. All right, everyone.
God, that was 12 years ago. Yeah. Oh my god. All right, I'm gonna go now.
All right, everyone, we're gonna go think about our life choices. Thank you all so much for tuning in to our Friday show. We really appreciate it. But of course, as we mentioned before, everything's going to our Wednesday mega show, so make sure you tune in for that. Moving forward, you'll catch all the WWE storylines. We talk about all the good stuff, everything in between, and we thank you so much, and we'll see you on Wednesday. Take care, everyone. Peace.